you know.
WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Congratulations again. Listen, I gotta bring this up.
Favor already? Excuse me? Anthony, you always have business on your mind. Take a night. Smell the cognac.
Reese Spatterfall came to see me. She wants $100,000 to relocate on account of Vito Jr. Already has his own social worker.
Patty told me there was doings. I guess that doesn't fall far from the faggot's ass.
It's beautifully put. But your family, right? Cousins.
What can you do? Throw money at the problem?
Well, somebody's gonna.
I'll talk to the kid. Set him right.
Good.
You two going home together?
The Don and Mike Show.
They can cure the itch in your ditch. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
What are you, a wise ass?
Right, Carm. Well, Sopranos ends on Sunday night.
Yeah, the end of an era.
On our phone now, the great Frank Vincent. This is quite a pull for us today. Hey, Frank.
Frank, how are you?
Guys, how are you?
Frank, of course, is Phil on The Sopranos.
Yeah, Frank, yeah. We really appreciate you coming on this show. You know we're enormous fans, and this is a real treat for us. It really is.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Frank, again, thanks for your time. Know that everybody's pulling at you a million different ways. Beyond all of the questions we'd like to ask you about The Sopranos, the thing that I wanted to ask you most was, I saw you interviewed, I guess it was maybe last year during last season's kickoff, and you were having not a meltdown with the press, but you were saying to someone, I don't like being interviewed. I don't like being recognized from being on this show. Do you still feel the same way? Are people still bugging you?
Well, there's a lot of people out there who watch the show. I mean, more than you could even imagine, and you really can't go too many places without people asking to take a picture. And it's okay. It's okay, you know, when you go there purposely for that reason. But when you go to a restaurant and everybody's got a cell phone with a picture on it and don't know how to use it, and they say, can we take a picture? And so I hate to say no, so I say yeah. And the guy's wife comes next to you, and you stand there, and he's, like, figuring out how to work this camera.
Frankly.
And then the next person says, well, how about me? Could you take a picture? So now I'm working. I'm not sitting down relaxing having dinner. I'm working. So
hey, do you think you're approached differently because of the kind of characters you've played in the past when you're playing wise guys and you're playing guys and that? Do you think people handle you differently when you're out and about?
Well, I don't know, you know, differently what that means, because that's the way they all come to me. You know, I don't know how they come to other people, but people come to you. I mean, women especially come to you. I don't think men don't come to me as much as women do. Usually a woman come over and say, my husband says that you know, he'd like to have a picture. I said, where's your husband? He's over there. I said, call him over here. And he comes over. I say, you sent your wife over here to talk to me?
See, and that's why, see, Frank, if you said that to me, I'd be scared of you. And that's what it is. The guys are scared of you, Frank. That's what it is.
Maybe it is. I don't know. It could be, because Phil's a pretty bad guy.
Even back, like, when you were in Casino, even then, I would think, and I liked you back then, I would think if I saw you on the street, I would probably say to my friend, oh, look, it's the guy from Casino. Not a chance. I'd walk up and go, you know.
No, I'd be afraid.
Hey, Mr. Mobster, how are you?
I would be very, very afraid.
Well, that's not really me anyway. So.
No, I know. Right. I'm kidding about that. You are quite the actor in that role. When you signed on for the role of Phil, did you have any thought that you'd end up being the supervillain in the finale?
No, actually, I didn't. I had seen David for the first go around, and he didn't hire me because of Billy Batts. Billy Batts from Goodfellas.
The guy that gets killed in Goodfellas. I mean, at the very beginning, I mean, amazing.
I played in that, and he was very popular. And David didn't want anybody that popular in the show to begin with, so he didn't hire me. But a couple of years later, we met again. I had to go see him, and he said, I'm going to definitely do something. And a year later, he called me they called me like on Thursday, so you start Monday. And all during that first season, I kept asking the writers, you know, how are we doing? I'm like, what's going to happen here? Because that's the year we all came out. Steve Buscemi came out, and and myself. We were supposedly in jail, and Robert Loggia and another character. And all three of them went away, and I stayed. So Buscemi died, and Loggia went back to jail, and the other character, I shot him in the trunk.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned
that was very symbolic of Billy Batts.
It's about Billy Batts. Since you mentioned Billy Batts, really, I don't think I've ever seen on screen more of a disturbing scene of somebody getting killed. And you hear actors say it's tough to watch. It had to be extremely difficult to watch that when you're getting worked over by Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro in that bar scene. Is it feel strange when you see yourself going through something like that after it's all put in the can?
No. When you realize when you're doing it what you're doing, but then when you see it looks great at how they put it together to me. So we don't, you know, the emotion of it is gone by the time we've seen it already 2-3 times. So I think we look at it more from a mechanical point of view,
right.
A production point of view. It's like you when you hear a radio show, you say that's a good show, it's not a bad show, whatever.
Right.
Hey, Frank, how did you mold the character of Phil? Because he went from being like you said, kind of a hanger on to now he's the guy that has the balls to sit down, confront James Gandolfini, who's a very commanding presence on that show. What have you done to make your character into the character that David Chase envisioned when he wrote it?
If the question should be what did David do? You know, the question is that the writing is so terrific for the character that you can't help but just go with it. And
but Phil, you're very humble. You're very good yourself. It's agreed that the material is fantastic, but there's got to be more than you getting a script and looking at it.
No, it's the look and it's the whole delivery.
And
it has come to a head. Of course, we can't ask you how it's going to end, but you know, there's a popular school of thought out there that is saying we're either talking to the guy that's going to go away or Tony's going to go away, and nobody really knows what's going to happen. It's got to be an incredible feeling to be a part of something like this that has been, such a part of the consciousness of the American people.
It's incredible. It's incredible as an actor. It's incredible for a career. I've played music for many years. I've acted for many years, and this is a terrific highlight. And it's something that makes you famous, and it gives you star quality. And who the hell knew? You know, who knew? Who knew 5 years ago or 4 years ago that this was going to happen? I think David Chase knew, but I didn't know.
Right, then, Phil, granted that David Chase saw the talent that you have and he gives you a good script, to follow up on Mike was asking you, seriously, if you've got a scene where you've got like 3 lines of dialogue and you've got to do most of it with facial expressions, with body stuff, with just looking up like at an urn in that one scene where you're just looking up at the urn, how long are you one of those guys that's got to sit down and say, I got to get into character to do this? Or do you just sit down and boom, do it?
I just do it. It's a simple word. It's called talent.
There you go.
Amen.
You're absolutely right.
If you have to think about that, then you can't be doing it because you can't think about it. And you don't know you're doing it. You know, you get the script and you read the scene and you say, it's set where it's set, and it tells you the direction, tells you where it is. But then you have to go to the scene. You have to go to the actual physical place, and your moves have to all be choreographed. It's part of the technique of doing film. The camera's going to be here. You're going to be there. You've got to go up the ladder. You've got to put the thing up there. So these are all steps that you have to rehearse, and you have to look at and analyze in your brain instantly because you don't get too much of a time to rehearse it. And you have to be relaxed. It's like anything else. You have to go on the air. You know you're going to go on. You know you're going to talk.
Is David Chase a guy that does a lot of takes, Frank? Does he do a lot of...
No, the Sopranos don't do a lot of takes. They do. They can do a lot of takes if you really get in trouble, but usually it's 3 or 4 takes. But you do a lot of angles, so you do a lot of different camera setups. So by the time you finish the shot, you've done, with all the angles considered, 15-20 times, you know, so they have it. They have material from all different angles, and now it's in the editing how they're going to put it together.
And how much does working with a director like Martin Scorsese, develop you as an actor? I mean, you started out with a movie like Raging Bull, and you work with a guy like Martin Scorsese.
Right.
How does that form? Did that help you and turn you into a better actor?
Oh, sure. He's the best there is, and if you pay attention to what he's talking about and how he's doing it, and then when you see it, you know, it absolutely. I mean, when you work, you know, a good fighter fights a good fighter. A bad fighter fights a good fighter. The bad fighter looks good.
Right.
A good fighter fights a bad fighter, and the good fighter looks bad.
Right.
So, Frank, if you can take another compliment. Also great in that movie, Do the Right Thing. I saw you in that as well.
Yeah, sure.
Breakout performance. And also, I mean, well, not a breakout because you'd been established by then. What about even like, what's that video game you're the voice in? My kid plays it all the time. Of Grand Theft Auto, is it two or three?
I did about two of them, three of them, I think.
It was one of these games. My son's now 22.
Yeah.
And he's playing this thing, this game, you know, Grand Theft Auto. I'm like half paying attention. And he says, "Hey, Dad, it's that guy you like from The Sopranos." And it really took me a couple of seconds. How many days does it take to go in and lay down the voice track for a video game?
In Grand Theft Auto, I think I worked on each game. Probably 3 or 4 days.
Wow. And that's a nice little payday after that, isn't it?
Oh, it's a very, very.
Yeah, I was going to ask without getting terribly personal if you made a lot of money on that.
Made a lot of money. But you see, the reason why it's different is voiceover. It's not, so you're not on camera. What they do is they put a little camera on you in the booth. So when you're doing the dialogue, they see how your face moves.
And then they match the animation to it?
Yeah, to some degree, yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. It's interesting the way they do that.
Frank, I know that you're thrilled with your sex. With your
I'm thrilled with my sex very much.
Success. Will you be glad when The Sopranos is over, at least in the short term? Will you be glad to just have it done with?
No, I wish it would go on more because it's a good job and it's working with the top levels there are in the business. You know, at most of the times when you work with Scorsese and you do something that's an independent film, it's a little downhill. Like, this is the top of the line here. The crew, the writing, the direction, the photography, it's all mainstream, and it's all the best there is. So anything working after this usually is a little bit of a letdown. So
I would imagine so.
It's a little bit of a letdown.
There's a small circle of guys that do the mob-related movies, really. I mean, there are just not many people that are credible and do a good job. Will you continue to do that kind of work, or will you say, "Hey, I'm a little tired of doing this"? Will you continue to pursue projects with that kind of theme?
Well, the projects pursue you. You know, I have a couple of projects lined up. One project, I'm going to be a fight promoter, who's not really. You know, gangsters are gangsters. They're only people, and they could be lawyers. They could be doctors.
Right.
I mean, they could be anything. I mean, Sean Payne played a lawyer who was a drug addict and a killer, you know, in a movie. So
yeah,
I mean,
the Al Pacino movie, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly right. So, I mean, you know, a character's a character. So you just look, I don't look at it as a mob guy. Phil is who he is. You know, he's been in jail. He's been 25 years, and he's in a position where now he can be what he wants to be. And I guess this is what you want to be when you're growing up to be a mob guy.
And the last question I would ask you is, depending on what happens on Sunday night, whether you live or Tony lives, if the character of Phil lives, could you ever see them coming to you and saying, "Hey, you know, it's not going to be The Sopranos, but there is such a hunger for this show that we want to do, you know, for lack of a better term, the Phil show"? Would you come back and be a part of a show like that?
Well, do you have a script and money?
Do you have a script and money too? And I have to ask you, because I know you're an accomplished drummer. Did you ever get a chance to meet Buddy Rich?
Buddy Rich gave me drumsticks.
Oh, cool. Buddy Rich is my idol. That's why I had to ask that question.
Buddy Rich was a great man.
Thank you.
When you drummed with Paul Anka, right?
Yeah.
What tunes did Paul Anka jam out at that time?
No, I don't remember. It was a 60-piece orchestra, and we played, and I think it was in his very early days, of course. But I forgot. I have it somewhere written down. But
Do you still play the drums?
I don't get a chance to play. I'd love to play, because every time I want to play, a friend of mine says, "Come and play tonight."
You play with Del Shannon?
I play with Del Shannon. They put up a sign, you know, "Now appearing," so I can't do that.
Oh, that stinks.
I did a lot of work with Del Shannon. Bill Rommel was the producer of Del, and he had all his hits.
Yeah, you ever played drums on "Runaway" with him?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Pretty cool. Pretty freaking cool.
This is neat.
Well, listen, we are just slurping you. We're giving you a prostate exam because you're fantastic on The Sopranos. We've loved you and all the stuff that you do. And
if we ever see you eating dinner, we will not approach you with a camera phone. We promise.
You may.
Just one last question: Will we? And we are fans of The Sopranos, and we have bemoaned the ups and downs and the slow plots and then everything happening at once. Will we be happy with the resolution on Sunday night?
When after I see that, after I see the show, I'll tell you the answer. I don't know what's going to make you happy, and I don't really know exactly what he has put together. I know what I did in it.
Oh, it's the secrecy of the Sopranos. That never changes.
Are you happy with what you did?
Yes, I am.
Good. Very good.
Frank,
I want to plug my website, guys.
Oh, go ahead, Frank.
Please do.
Go home and get your Shinebox t-shirts and all my gear. Phil's t-shirts and mouse pads.
What's your website again, Frank?
FrankVincent.com.
FrankVincent.com. We'll put a link on our website as well. You'll get a bunch
of
hits today.
When we have legendary performers on, Frank, we always ask for just one little thing. And I wouldn't mind. Could you say, Don and Mike, go and get your shine box? Could you say that to us?
Sure, I could.
Oh, thanks, Frank.
We'll
go ahead.
Tape right now.
Don and Mike, go home and get your shine box.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
We will cherish that one, Frank.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
You just made us hard.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Frank.
Bye-bye.
Nice talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that's
a pleasure.
Very cool.
A pleasure.
First guy you see in Goodfellas, but he's in the trunk of a car.
No, Tommy, no. Also in Casino.
Yeah. In Casino, he gets Joe Pesci to go out to the cornfield and gets him with the bat.
Whack, whack, whack.
Wow.
Yeah, he's good.
Wow.
He's good.
The real deal.
Okay, that's about as good as it gets.
Yeah. That's about as fresh as it gets, too, going into the final weekend of The Sopranos. And will it be him or will it be Tony? It's going to be either one of them, I think.
Well, John, you've saved your job for another week. Congratulations. Let's give John another 5-day contract as our producer.
Yay, another 5-day contract.
And let's go to...
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Right. Yes. Poor Buzz has been over there rubbing whiskey in his genitals.
It's not working.
And trying to put the toothpaste in the hole.
That's working.
I'll give you my pro kit.
Thank you.
Anyway, are you ready over there?
I believe I am.
Born ready. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.